friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners, and happy Friday. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. My last show of October is topped by Nigeria's world champion para powerlifter in the 61-kilogram weight division.
My name is Ejike Lucy Ogechukwu, a 5-times Paralympian, the current world record holder in para powerlifting.
Lucy was recently named one of Nigeria's 60 sports icons as part of the country's 60th independence anniversary celebrations. Iron Mike Mbonye asked Lucy, how did it feel to receive the award?
I feel so great for being recognized as one of the Nigerian sports icons in the past 60 years. When they called me to come and receive award in Abuja, when I entered the hall and saw my picture and my name among the 60 Nigerian heroes since 1960, I felt so great. I was so happy. Tears of joy came out of my eyes. I was very happy to receive the award.
Will this award make you achieve more results for the Para Powerlifting Federation?
Yes, this award will make me to achieve more results for the Para Powerlifting Federation of Nigeria because it is a kind of motivation to me. It is telling me that people are watching what I am doing and they are appreciating me. This will make me now to put more effort and work harder to make sure that I achieve more goals in my career.
Have you commenced preparations for the next Paralympic Games, and what's your target?
I have started the preparation for the next Paralympic Games, and I am working so hard to make sure that I win the gold medal and set new world records.
That's Nigerian para powerlifter Lucy Ejike, the world record holder in the 61-kilogram weight class. And Lucy spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Enugu, Nigeria. And this Paralympics calendar note for our VOA sports fans, like the Olympics, the Paralympics originally scheduled for this year in Tokyo, but they've been pushed back because of the coronavirus pandemic. The next Paralympics are scheduled to officially open on August 24th, 2021, 16 days after the Olympics end in the Japanese capital.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
In African athletics, Joshua Cheptegei's 5,000 meters world record set on August 14th in Monaco has officially been ratified by the sport's international governing body. Cheptegei clocked 12 minutes and 35.36 seconds. Less than 2 months later, in Spain, the 24-year-old Ugandan shattered the world record in the 10,000 meters with a time of 26 minutes and 11 seconds. That performance is now awaiting ratification. In this Sunny Side of Sports highlight for 2020, Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala has reaction from Cheptegei after his 5,000 meters world record. Sporty greetings, Magume.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Ugandan won the Monaco Diamond League with a new world record, 12:35.36.
I felt so great, of course, upon crossing the finish line, knowing that I am really the new world record holder of the 5,000 meters. Really, I'm a happy man, of course, a happy Ugandan, and a happy African.
Cheptegei's new record replaced that of 12:37.35 set by Ethiopian Kenenisa Bekele in 2004 at Hengelo, Netherlands, IAAF World Challenge meeting. He says he's grateful for his pacemakers, especially his training partner, fellow Ugandan Stephen Chisa.
I was training, of course, in these difficult times of the pandemic, of course, the coronavirus. Like most of the people really have been heartbroken, and people have lost dreams and, of course, focus. But as for me, of course, you know, yeah, I was really motivated, of course, and having hope and keeping the faith that one time the world will get back to normal, and, of course, business will always resume.
The 2018 Commonwealth Games men's 5,000 and 10,000 meters champion also won gold in the 10,000 meters category, the Doha 2019 World Athletics Championships, and kept on winning form in various competitions across the globe.
In 2019, I won the World Cross Country, the Diamond Leaf Trophy in Zurich, and of course the World Championship in Doha. I always believe that one success, one goal, one success leads to another. Of course, it got me more hungry for more gold and for more wins and for more world records. So as an athlete, whenever I make an achievement, it becomes I celebrate it for once and for some few moments. And then, of course, I forget about it and, of course, look for new challenges in the future.
Namayo Mawerere is the spokesman for the Uganda Athletics Federation. He says amidst the COVID-19 pandemic, Cheptegei's success is a big motivation for other athletes in the country.
Certainly, Joshua Cheptegei has gone down in the world history and Ugandan records as one of the greatest athletes and sportsmen of all times. He has become an icon, a role model to the present and future Ugandan athletes. It has gone across a multiplier effect. Many Ugandan athletes have closely been following Cheptegei's path to glory with many attributes, which include patience, hard work, focus, big heart, willing to groom others, discipline, and strong determination to achieve his goals.
For this side of sports, I am Mugume Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
My name is Joshua Cheptegei of Uganda, a world champion, a double Commonwealth Games champion, a world cross country champion, a three-time world record holder of the 5K, 10K, and 15K. My message to the athletes all over the world and other people is that keep a distance and follow the guidelines given to you by your governments and the health ministries, because the COVID-19 is really a serious disease.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. We look forward to your next Music Time in Africa show. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. On this Friday, we celebrate the 46th anniversary of the Rumble in the Jungle, the classic clash in Kinshasa between Muhammad Ali and then world heavyweight boxing champion George Foreman. The fight on October 30th, 1974 has been described as one of the greatest sporting events of the 20th century. Foreman Foreman entered the ring undefeated with 40 consecutive victories. And at 25, Big George was younger and stronger than the 32-year-old Ali. But Ali told his Hall of Fame trainer, the late, great Angelo Dundee, that he had a secret plan for Foreman. He would lean on the ropes and cover up, letting Big George punch him in the arms and body and sap Foreman's energy with what came to be known as Ali's rope-a-dope strategy. And Ali's plan worked. Foreman got tired, and Muhammad Ali knocked him out with 2 seconds left in the eighth round. Angelo Dundee was in Muhammad Ali's corner 46 years ago in Kinshasa. Over the years, old Angelo delighted our Voice of America listeners with funny verbal jabs before he died in 2012 at the age of 90. Let's listen in again to old Angelo as he reflects on the rumble in the jungle.
Such an event. You know, you get there and we're the good guys, you know, right there, Ali Boumaye. And he was like a hero there. And the Zaire people are so goddamn nice. It's a shame, you know, the country's having their problems. And everybody I met there was so congenial and nice. And the fun part of it was a guy named Chimpupu Chimpupu Wa Chimpupa. He was the PR guy.
Okay.
And he'd make us go. See, we were outside of Kinshasa. We were like 45 minutes away in the government complex called Nasseli. That's where they entertained all the African nations. And we all had villas facing the Congo River. And God forbid we said Congo River. It was called the Zaire River. And we used to look forward to going to the gym every day. In fact, on my off duties, I used to train lizards. It made a good hit with the newspaper guys. When they came, it was a rainy day. We didn't go to the gym. And these lizards, these big lizards, we'd be walking across like the banisters.
Right.
And I said, wait a minute, let me tell you what I did. And I said, see that lizard? I trained that sucker. Now watch, he's going to go 5 steps and do push-ups. no matter where you go, you got to have a sense of humor.
Angelo, did Foreman train close to Muhammad, or were
He trained right across the way from us. And we used to spy on him. I used to borrow Howard Bingham's telescopic lens and watch him from behind the hiding spots. We're like little kids, you know. He goes, you don't see nothing in the gym. There's nothing to check, you know. But we had fun. So this is the whole key, you know. People don't realize to excel at what you do, you got to have fun with it. And we always had fun with Muhammad every day. Every day, 19 years, I had fun, you know, so what the hell? This is what it's all about.
Angelo, was the weather a factor in that fight, the heat in the former Zaire?
You got to remember, we trained in Florida, Miami. Muhammad loves the heat. In fact, to this day, Muhammad calls me, he threatens me, he's going to come down and sweat. I says, please do.
Do you think the heat bothered Big George more than it did Muhammad?
Well, no, I just think it was meant to be, you know, this is what happens in boxing. Isn't that a horrible career to have, you know, if somebody out there can lick you? Isn't that tough? I mean, you're a great fighter, and there's somebody out there might do a number on you. The only guy that didn't taste that was Rocky Marciano, God bless him, because he retired undefeated. And another kid from Thailand retired undefeated.
Angelo, looking back on the rumble in the jungle, would that fight have happened without the electric-haired man, Don King?
No, he was in the right place at the right time. Had the connections, the complexions to give us the right direction. That's what Muhammad used to say about me. Angelo got the connections and the direction to give me the right direction. That's right. So we applied it the other way. No, it was meant to be. Don King's a hell of a promoter. He went there and they wanted to name their country a new name, you know, get rid of that Belgian Congo thing, and then name their country Zaire. And Mobutu's a very, very, you know, that Zaire's a big country. And I think it's bigger than the United States. Yeah, big. And this guy ran it. He was a remarkable guy. He used to go all his provinces by helicopter. He was a hell of a man.
Angela, where does the Rumble in the Jungle rate in the Muhammad Ali legacy?
Well, it's got to be one of the greatest happenings, the changing of a name, government. Well, Muhammad, you know, was a happening any place we ever went. You know, I get letters 10 a week maybe, you know, letting us want pictures and stuff like that. It's remarkable, you know, because here I was with a guy who was a living legend. And in his career now, I'm his fistic voice because the guy can't talk. And I know it breaks his heart. He loved to talk. He loved it because he loved talking to the media. He enjoyed that. And I pride myself with that. I pushed him towards that because if you want to be a superstar, these guys will make you a superstar. And, you know, that's why he was so great with the media. He was the first superstar that did that. Never happened before.
That's the late Hall of Fame boxing trainer Angelo Dundee, who died in 2012 at the age of 90. With more on the Rumble in the Jungle, here is Ted Lanfair.
In 1974, fans in Zaire had followed his every move surrounding what came to be called the Rumble in the Jungle with George Foreman.
Even today, I meet people and they bring up the Ali fight, and they still think the fight is going on. They need to be on my side or Ali. They don't know the fight. It doesn't exist anymore, but you learn great lessons from those defeats. You learn that it's just a day in your life. It shouldn't be taken over. It shouldn't consume you. And it's just a moment, and enjoy every moment.
Boumaye, the crowd shouted. Kill him, Ali. Brutal words for perhaps the world's most famous pacifist. Muhammad Ali won 56 of 61 professional fights in his last two bouts in 1980 and 1981. He was already showing the debilitating effects of Parkinson's disease, the brain disorder that affects muscle control.
Thanks, Ted. That's Ted Lanfair. The year after the epic Ali-Foreman fight, American soul singer Don Covey released a tribute song titled, you guessed it, Rumble in the Jungle.
With a lid, and then than Didi of a muscular punch that's incredibly speedy. The fistic world was dull and weary. With a champ like Liston, things had to be dreary. Then someone with color, someone with dash, brought fight fans a-running with cash. This brash young boxer is something to see, and the heavyweight championship is his destiny. This kid fights great. He's got speed and endurance. But if you sign to fight him, increase your insurance. I am the greatest.
That's the late, great Muhammad Ali, who 46 years ago today, on October 30th, 1974, knocked out George Foreman in the epic Rumble in the Jungle in Kinshasa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The World Boxing Council has announced it will give a belt to the winner of the November 28th fight between former champions Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. The WBC has created the Frontline Battle Belt to promote and commemorate the fight near Los Angeles, California. It's really hard to say what's going to happen on November 28th. Tyson is 54 years old, and Roy Jones Jr. is 51. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Maweda, has described this as a bout between two old geezers. And their eight-round encounter was previously billed as an exhibition. This frontline battle belt will have some modifications from a typical championship fight. Most notably, the rounds have been reduced from 3 to 2 minutes. And Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. also will be wearing 12-ounce gloves, 2 ounces heavier than most officially sanctioned boxing matches. Speaking at a news conference on Thursday, Tyson revealed his weight is down to 215 pounds for the first time since he was a teenager, thanks to rigorous training and sparring. Tyson said, and I quote, "I'm more involved now than I've ever been. My objective is to go in there on November 28th with the best intentions of my life and disable my opponent." For his part, Roy Jones Jr. said, "I still have my boxing with me. My game is still there. Tyson is training well, hitting the bag well. We are two explosive fighters. It looks like we're young again." Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson promoting their eight-round fight on November 28th near Los Angeles, California. And that wraps up the October 30th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in, and have a nice weekend, everyone. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, music lovers. This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. This Sunday, tune in for a full hour of Africa's best music. Chatty and electro dance music? Check. Classic Monde Grill music? Check. Interview with founder of Ghanaian Hip Life, Reggie Rockstone? Check.
Everybody.
There's this and so much more music for everyone in this show. So don't miss it. This Sunday, 1500 and 2000 UTC. On Music Time in Africa.
want to listen to the latest African music? Dance to the best African beats from across the African continent? Then you don't have a problem. Just tune in to the African beat on The Voice of America, Mondays through Fridays at exactly 0900 and 2000 Universal Time. African Beat, the show that brings happiness into your homes, smiles on your faces. So join me, your host, David Bandy, Monday through Friday, 0900 and 2000 Universal Time. Voice of America.
African Beat is the best. It's number one. We love it.
Take your peek, watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio. Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from the Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Button, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
Hello. I'm Carol Castiel, host of Press Conference USA, VOA's newsmaker interview program. Join us each Saturday and Sunday when we talk with authors, analysts, and policymakers who provide fresh insight on topics ranging from U.S. politics and foreign policy to science, culture, and global health. You can listen to Press Conference USA on the radio or online at voanews.com/PCUSA. Visiting our website, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. We'd also love to hear from you. Just send an email to pcusa@voanews.com or connect with us on Facebook at facebook.com/CarolCastielVOA or on Twitter at CarolCastielVOA. That's Press Conference USA every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.